Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, trying to give you a little bit of a glimpse of some of the messages that were delivered to Latter-day Saints during the 19th century. Today, we have an interesting statement, or a number of statements, made by Brigham Young back in 1871, on June 3rd, 1871. You can find this speech in Volume 14 of the Journal of Discourses, and it begins on page 192. But the portion that we would like to examine today begins on page 195.
It says, "If you should have visits here from those professing to be Christians, and they intimate a desire to preach to you, by all means invite them to do so. Accord to every reputable person who may visit you and who may wish to occupy the stands of your meeting houses to preach to you the privilege of doing so, no matter whether he be a Catholic, Presbyterian, Congregationalist, Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Methodist, or whatever he may be. And if he wishes to speak to your children, let him do so. Of course, you have the power to correct whatever false teachings or impressions, if any, your children may hear or receive. I say to parents, place your children, as far as you have an opportunity to do so, in a position or situation to learn everything in the world that is worth learning. You will probably have what is called a Christian church here. They will not admit that we are Christians, but they cannot think us further from the plan of salvation, as revealed from heaven, than we know them to be. So we are even on that ground as far as it goes."
That's an interesting statement that Brigham Young makes here, because he's actually inviting Mormon parents to allow their children to listen to those who profess to be Christians that certainly do not agree with Mormonism. Now, I've heard it recently stated that it's practically a new phenomenon among the Christian community to disregard the Mormon Church's claim of Christian, that this is more of a new type of thing, primarily by evangelicals. But as you can see, what Brigham Young says here, he says it, "You will probably have what is called a Christian church here. They will not admit that we are Christians, but they cannot think us further from the plan of salvation, as revealed from heaven, than we know them to be. So we are even on that ground as far as it goes." What is Brigham Young admitting to? Well, they might not think that we're Christians, but Brigham Young says that's okay, because we don't think they're Christians. So that's what he means by that we're on an even plane here. It obviously was understood, even in 19th century Utah, that the professing Christian community outside of Mormonism did not see the Mormon church as part of the Christian fold. So for Mormons to imply that this is a relatively new thing in the religious world is not accurate by the very words of Brigham Young himself. And again, this was said in 1871.
I find it interesting that he says that the children should be able to listen to these speakers, to be able to hear what they have to say. I taught for many years in California at a Christian school as a Bible department teacher, and taught juniors. And so what I would do in the fourth quarter of every year, I did this for a number of years, that I'd have the students visit different venues. We would visit the Hare Krishna temple, synagogue, a mosque, and we would go down to Old Town, San Diego, where there was what was called the Mormon Battalion Center, a historical site. And I would bring my students down every year. And I said, "I want the missionaries, or whoever you have, the very best you have, to address my students. And I won't say anything. I'll be there." But I would bring 50 to 75 students. They loved having me come. And they got 2 hours worth of instruction, because I would teach on the topic in class, of course, to a Christian audience in a Christian school. but then they got to hear it from their perspective and ask questions to people who actually believe this. I think it was a very valuable form of instruction. The students learned a lot. Many times I would make the offer to the missionaries or to the older people there, if there's anything I could ever do for you, let me know. I would be more than happy to describe what Christianity teaches and not be quote-unquote anti-Mormon. They never took me up on it. However, I have a Jewish rabbi friend there who did, who had me come and talk to his students. And I think that's a valuable way of instruction, to allow your students to start thinking on their own so they can come up with their own conclusions instead of being force-fed, being given the right to be able to hear different perspectives.
I know you and I, Eric, certainly in raising our children, always encouraged them to hear what other people had to say on issues. We certainly did not want to merely indoctrinate our kids in a one-sided view of the world, though certainly we admit we have biases towards a certain worldview, but we wanted them to know what does the other side teach. So encouraging my kids to listen to people with other viewpoints was commonplace in our household, raising our kids. And, of course, taking children, high school students, I would say, to places like the Mormon Miracle Pageant only works well for young people to actually engage with other people their age to find out what they actually believe. We're not against asking them questions, wanting to know what they believe. In fact, we've often said it's important that if you want to have an effective dialogue with someone, you have to ask them what they personally believe. Mm-hmm. If they don't believe the party line, if you will, of what the Mormon Church wants their people to believe, I think we should ask them why they don't and find that out. But still, we need to ask them, because there's no use raising an argument on a certain topic if that individual doesn't believe it in the first place. The line of questioning should be, well, why don't you believe it if that's what your leaders are teaching?
Well, the Journal of Discourses supports what you're saying. George A. Smith said in Volume 14, page 216, he said, "The foundation of a religion must be weak if its people are scared to have it examined." And then in Volume 20, John Morgan, 70, he said in 1879, August 17th, 1879, "The truth," this is a direct quote, "the truth will hurt no man." I think we would agree with both those quotes, that if the truth is opposite of what I believe, that I need to know about that so that I can correct my way of thinking.
Yeah, you had paraphrased George A. Smith. Let me read the quote. It's actually found in Volume 14. "If a faith will not bear to be investigated, if its preachers and professors are afraid to have it examined, their foundation must be very weak." We would agree with that. That's why we don't mind fielding questions. Now, of course, you're going to get some Mormons who like to I get email all the time from Mormons, and I try answering them in the very beginning. It becomes very apparent that I will spend a lot of time trying to answer their questions, and it's apparent by the next email that they're not even listening to what I'm having to say. So there comes a time when you finally you cut off the correspondence, because I just don't have time to constantly answer spammers who have nothing better to do than to try and take up my precious time and trying to answer questions from people who have sincere questions on their mind. And it's easy for a Mormon to walk away and go, "Oh, see, they don't have any answers." No, it's not that I don't have any answers. It's just I don't have the time to spend with you, because one, you're not going to take my answer seriously anyway. Going back to this quote, I think we need to talk about this, because Brigham Young mentions on page 197, he says, "Next week, the great camp meeting that has been so long contemplating is to commence in the city of Salt Lake, where I have heard it whispered there are so many of the Mormons, quote unquote, to be converted. I am going to permit every one of my children to go and hear what they have to say." He's actually referring to a meeting that took place in June of 1871, in which a number of Methodist ministers were allowed to come in and actually speak in the tabernacle. And there was actually a report by Mormons afterwards that the Mormons felt a little bit slighted in that, and even though they were treated quite hospitably, that I guess Brigham Young wasn't even allowed a chair to sit there on the platform, even though there were a lot of chairs available, and the Mormons writing the story obviously felt like they were not treated quite well, and if that's the case, that's too bad. But Brigham Young did allow them to do that. Now, I don't see too many Mormons giving us an opportunity to come into a local meeting. In fact, when Randy Sweet, who works with us at MRM, decided to sit in on some gospel doctrine classes at the local ward, and he just wanted to listen to what they had to say. They were going through the Spencer Kimball manual, I believe, at the time. And so he just wanted to hear what they were going to say about some of these quotes from Spencer Kimball. And occasionally he would ask a question. He was always very respectful, as Randy always is. And Randy told me that he actually had a very positive experience there and that a lot of Mormons were very happy for some of the questions that he was raising. Well, eventually, after doing this, I forget how many times, not too terribly many, late one night he gets a visit and knock on the door and hears these two suits basically telling him he can't come back to the Mormon ward anymore and that he was actually banned from all the Mormon wards in the area. So hardly the attitude that Brigham Young had here in 1871. It doesn't seem like the Mormon church is quite open like they used to be.
Or George A. Smith as well. This is also what Brigham Young said on page 196. I think this needs to be quoted here. It says, if they, talking about these Presbyterians, Methodists, and others, if they want to come and teach your children in the Sunday school, I say let them do so most certainly. We have scores of thousands of others of their books distributed among the Sunday schools throughout our territory. Some Latter-day Saints think they are not exactly what they ought to be, but we are using them in our schools Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays from one year's end to the other. I don't know. This is off the cuff, Bill, but if any Latter-day Saint hearing this would like to have us come to their seminary classes and explain why we hold the way we do, I think you and I would both be willing to come in and explain in a nice way, not being mean-spirited, but explain the differences or explain what historic Christianity is all about. According to Brigham Young, they shouldn't be scared and, in fact, should invite them to come and teach your children in Sunday school.
He says, I say, parents, do not be afraid of having your children learn everything that is worth learning. If the Mormons want to know what evangelicals believe on a certain topic, you're right. You and I would not mind at all if they would invite us to come in. I'd be glad to talk to them about this. You would be glad to talk to them about this as well. We shouldn't be afraid of information. We should be able to listen to what another person has to say, compare it to what our worldview has to say on that topic. If their view seems to carry the greater weight of truth, and by all means, it should be embraced and error should be abandoned.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, correspond to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.